Good morning, Grace Point Church. Great to see all of you. Is it still snowing outside?
No.
When y'all came in? Okay, I'm in the first service. Holy smokes. I was joking last week. I'm really sorry about that when I said enjoy the snow. But hey, 5 minutes or 5 miles, that's the weather in the Pacific Northwest. If you don't like it, it'll change in 5 minutes, or just drive 5 miles and you'll be good to go. I think if I wasn't a pastor, I would be in advertising. I love advertising. I think it's really cool. I think that there's some really creative things that they do, hidden messages. Sometimes there's things that you don't see, and then once you see them, you can't unsee them. I got a couple examples for you. Look at this one right here. Baskin-Robbins, right? Have you guys seen this? Baskin-Robbins. Have you ever noticed the hidden message in here? 31, right? 31 flavors, okay? That's an easy one. That's an easy one. Most people know that one. How about this one? FedEx. You see the FedEx trucks driving around? Have you noticed what's between the E and the X? See, there's a little subliminal. If they could just get to my house on time, man, Sorry. This is, I'm working out my own issues. I apologize. How about this one? Amazon. Amazon. You guys know Amazon, right? You've seen this before. You know there's a purpose behind this. This circle here. The A to Z, it smiles from A to Z. That's what that is all about. That is there on purpose. They have everything from A to Z, okay? So far, you guys, like, Kevin, I'm tracking with you. I know all those. This one might be new to you. Look at this one. Hershey Kisses. You got my Hershey Kisses fans out there. Do you know that they've literally hidden the actual product in the logo? It's right there. Little Hershey Kiss sitting right there. But probably of all of these advertising, this is my favorite one. Once someone pointed this out to me, I can't unsee it, but I love it, and I hope you will too. Look at this next one. Tostitos, right? You got my chip people, right? Okay, so here's the cool thing about the Tostitos logo. Once I show you, you can't unsee it. Look, they are literally eating chips and salsa right there. It's in the logo, right? You got two people. That's a chip right there. There's the salsa. They are eating chips and salsa, right? I love that. I love about advertising. Here's the thing that I find interesting about advertising and interesting about life, especially in my relationship with God. Just because I don't see it doesn't mean it isn't there. Just because I don't see it doesn't mean it isn't there. And now that it's pointed out to you, some of these things that you see, you're going to see them. You didn't see them before, but now you're going to see them. We're in a series called Divine Questions. And I'm going to tell you, today's question is a toughie. It's one of those questions that God asks us, but quite honestly, it is a question that we often ask God. This is one of those questions that we spin around and we very easily turn back to God. It's one of these topics that has, I have talked to more people. This is the reason why they don't go to church anymore. This is why they're mad, and they've just kind of turned their back on God. What we're going to talk about today is anger and bitterness. Anger and bitterness, and more importantly, not only anger and bitterness to each other, but what do I do with my anger and bitterness towards God? So, just giving you a little fair warning, we're gonna jump into the pool together, and it might get a little bumpy, but I want you to know that God knew of all the places that you could be, he wanted you here today. And in and of my own, I really don't have anything special to say, but I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak into your life today, because I think this is an issue that many, if not all of us, have dealt with in the past, could be dealing with it right now, or could be coming down the road. So before we start, I'm going to pray. God, thank you for allowing us to be here in this moment. Thanks for those that are joining us online. God, it's a heavy subject today. God, I think it's one that Satan uses, most certainly he's used in my life. I know he's used in the lives of others. This idea of anger, bitterness, what do we do with it? How do we resolve it? And why in the world have you allowed it to happen in our lives? God, I pray that today you would provide clarity, clarity that only you can give. And I pray, God, that you would just work in our hearts through the power of your word. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're in the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 4. I think Jonah is one of the most misunderstood and most relatable people in the Bible, most certainly in the Old Testament. Jonah gets a bad rap. I know, surfing in the whale and all that. If you were a kid growing up in church, you've heard about that. Jonah in the belly of the whale. You know, Jonah is a really interesting guy because Jonah was living out what was going on inside of his heart. I mean, like, you did not have to question what was going on in Jonah's life. The book of Jonah starts out with God saying to Jonah, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah, of course, being the good prophet, says no. And he turns and he goes the opposite direction, jumps on a boat and he takes off. But God, because God wants to do something in this situation, like, Jonah, you don't understand, I want you to go to Nineveh. God causes problems on the boat. They chuck Jonah over the side. Jonah gets eaten by a fish, kind of a big deal. You know, he swims around inside the fish for a little while. God, I'm sorry. Pops out on the other side. God says, okay, I want you to go to Nineveh. Now, you may not know this about Nineveh. And you might go, man, Jonah, what's the big deal? I mean, God's just asking you to go and tell these people to turn back to God. I mean, what is the big deal? Nineveh's a bad place. Like, Nineveh was a part of the Assyrian Empire, is one of the cities of Assyria. And they were awful people. Awful people. They would take their enemies, they would dismember them, and they would spread them out on display. They would pile skulls up. They would put people on stakes, on pikes. They would capture their enemies, and then they would force their enemies to go back and attack the very land from where they were taken. Jonah's people were savagely attacked by Nineveh, by the Ninevites. So let me say it this way. Jonah probably had friends that were killed by people in this city. Jonah could have had a loved one, maybe a dad or a brother or a cousin or a neighbor. Jonah hated the Ninevites. And not just because Jonah was, you know, he was just mad. Jonah had deep-seated anger and bitterness towards this city. So much so that when God, the God of the universe, now think about this, God of the universe says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. His reaction was, peace out. And he just took off. That's some, you got to have some serious stuff going on inside to just tell God, find somebody else. But what I find interesting in this story, I think there's two things that are going on here. God is pursuing Nineveh because he wants Nineveh to turn and repent. But also, God is pursuing Jonah because he knows the bitterness and anger in his heart is doing serious damage in his life. And God wants to heal not only the city of Nineveh, but he wants to heal Jonah. And I believe God does the same thing in our lives when we have stuff going on, things that we're holding on to. So Jonah, after, you know, going in the whale, might change your mind about certain things. So he goes, okay, God, I'll go to the city. Now, this is one of the worst evangelical messages ever recorded. I'm just going to say ever. Most certainly in the Bible, but ever. Jonah goes to Nineveh. He gives an 8-word message of repentance. It's recorded in the Bible. Here it is. Jonah 3, verse 4. Ready? Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The end. That's it. I mean, it's super convicting, right? I mean, like, that is like, whoa, 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 wow. He just said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Nineveh, God's mad, repent. I'm out. And he leaves. That is a terrible evangelical message. There's no love in here. There's no, you know, God wants a relationship with you. There's none of, no one singing, you know, there's no music playing in the background. 8 words. And he leaves. But here's the power of God. God and his love for the city, as message is delivered, the people fall under incredible conviction. And they repent. The whole city repents. Over 100,000 people. Over 100,000 people turn and go, we don't want to live this way anymore. God, we're sorry. Even the king, the Bible says, even the king, sackcloth and ashes, makes a decree. The whole city turns around and says, okay, God, we're sorry. We want to start living the right way. And this is where we pick up the story. This is where we pick up today's divine question. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. The Bible says, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Here's Jonah's reply. I love his honesty. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. Now, can I just tell you, as a pastor locally here in Kitsap County, if all of a sudden 100,000 people in Kitsap County turned their heart to Jesus and we had this incredible revival happen, I'm not sure that's my reaction. You know, I'm not sure that you see all these people turn their lives around and Jonah's response is, oh, for crying out loud, are you kidding me? And Jonah's mad. And by the way, displeased Jonah, this is where the English doesn't quite do the justice of what's going. Jonah is furious. I mean, he is hot with anger. He is really ticked off about what's going on. He's looking at this situation and going, are you serious right now? Like, I gave the worst evangelical message I could come up with. 8 words. I wouldn't even turn to God on what I just said. Are you serious right now? And they all repented? Oh, for crying out loud. And I think somewhere in the back of his mind too, Jonah's thinking, man, I got to go back home. And the people where I live who also feel the same way about Nineveh, what am I going to say to them? Our mortal enemy turned and repented to God? Way to go, Jonah. Good job, buddy. Jonah's got a problem. So here's the thing. Anger is what they call a secondary emotion. I don't know if you know this or not. People don't walk around angry. You are angry because of something else. It's a secondary emotion. Here's what I mean. Anger usually comes from hurt or surprise. Has anyone ever scared you before? Like, boo! And you, right? And you, oh, what'd you do that for? That's a reaction to being scared, right? But people don't walk around angry. They're angry because of something that happened to them. And anger isn't necessarily a bad thing. We get angry about injustice. It causes us to act and step in when we see injustice and right wrongs and help people out. And that's a good thing. Sometimes I can get angry with myself over something that I said or I did. And excuse me. And it causes corrective measures that I take in my life. I don't want to do that anymore. But that kind of anger is quickly resolved. But what can happen is that anger that we let sit unchecked turns to bitterness. The bitterness, that's something that we just kind of sit in. It smolders inside of us. It's just below the surface. You can feel good about 90% of the things, but somebody brings up this subject and they bring up that topic or that person or that situation and suddenly it can bubble to the surface. I like this definition about bitterness. Bitterness is an emotional punishment you give to yourself for someone else's behavior. It's an emotional punishment that you give to yourself for someone else's behavior. Because here's the honest thing about this situation. Is there anything that I can do to change what has happened to me from the past? No. I can't change it. What happened, happened. There's nothing that I can do. But when I sit in it, and when I just stew on it, it becomes an emotional punishment that I give myself for what someone else did to me. And when we hold on to that, not only does it impact our lives, but it impacts the lives of those around me. You ever been around someone who's bitter? You ever seen that? You know, where you're like, you'll meet someone and go, don't talk about that. You know, Seahawks fans, don't talk about should you have passed or hand the ball off. You know, I mean, you know, like you get that Super Bowl thing, and I can talk to Seahawks fans, and there's like, oh, you know, we shouldn't have thrown the ball, we should have passed, you know, we should have handed it off. We got these things that too soon. Boy, that was really sorry. I kind of pricked the nerve there. But you know, we can get stuck in this thing. And it's a dangerous place to be. Have you ever been bitter towards someone? Have you ever had a Nineveh in your life? I think Jonah was bitter. I think Jonah was really bitter. And then in the midst of all of this, God steps in and asks Jonah this question. Jonah 4:4. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? Do you do well to be angry? In other words, God is saying to Jonah, Jonah, what's the benefit in your life for holding on to this anger? How's it going? How are you doing with this? See, as hard as it is, I love that God loves Jonah enough to say, Jonah, do you see what this is doing to you? Your response to a revival in the city is anger, hot anger. You're furious. You're upset. Jonah, how is this helping you? See, I think Jonah was so focused on what was being done to him, he couldn't see what God was trying to do in him. And bitterness, if we let it sit in our lives, it will have an impact. In fact, I think there's three things, there's like this progress that bitterness will do in our lives if we don't deal with it. And we see it in Jonah's life. Here's the first thing. Bitterness, first it will cheat you. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, and he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew you are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Jonah's response, and I appreciate Jonah's honesty. Jonah says to God, I knew it. 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 God, I knew. I knew if I was to go to Nineveh and I was to say this 8-word sentence that you wanted me to say, I knew that you were going to forgive them. Are you serious, God? Are you serious? Really? Really? And Jonah was cheated out of God's blessing because he was so focused on God not handling the situation the way Jonah thought God should handle the situation. And Jonah cheated himself out of this blessing. And the second thing it'll do is it will control you. In verse 5, Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he could see what would become of the city. Jonah, after seeing the response of the people and seeing revival break out and all these people change their hearts, what does Jonah do? He leaves the city. He goes up on a hill. He sits down. He makes a little booth, a little covering because it's hot out. He grabs his bag of popcorn and his Coke, and he sits down, and he looks at the city and goes, burn, baby, burn. He is waiting for God to open up his wrath on the city. Jonah's still hoping that somehow they go, just kidding, and then God goes, finally, and wipes him out. Jonah is so controlled by his bitterness and his anger, instead of going into the city and talking to people about what God wants to do in their life, how God can redeem what's going on, Jonah leaves the city and he sits on a hill. You ever sat on a hill waiting for someone that did you dirty to burn? You ever sat back and secretly hoped that God would get them? Like you kind of cheer inside when they don't get promoted and something bad happens in their marriage. They get a flat tire on the way to work. Like, yeah, God, good job. I mean, I know we never say that out loud, right? I mean, because we all love Jesus. But, right, I mean, here's a guy who's being very open and honest about his feelings towards Nineveh and towards God. God, are you serious? Have you no idea who these people are? Come on, man. God, come on. Do it. Just a little flame. Like just burn that guy's backyard. I mean, come on. A little something. But he was so controlled by his bitterness that he sat back and waited for God to burn it to the ground. And then here's the third thing that happens. Not only will it cheat you, not only will it control you, but it'll consume you. Jonah chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. Should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left?" As Jonah was sitting on a hill overlooking the city, God, in his kindness towards Jonah, in his pursuit of Jonah, made a plant. He made this beautiful plant, and it came, and it covered him, like way better covering than what Jonah made. And Jonah was like, oh, this is great. Like, good, God's on my side. This is going to be fantastic. We got a little more shade, a little more popcorn, extra soda. Woo! Watch it burn. And then in the middle of the night, the plant dies. And then Jonah the next day is ticked. Now is he not only mad that God didn't ruin the city, but now he's mad about the plant. And God, in his love for Jonah, says, "Jonah, buddy, can you see what's going on here? Can you see what this bitterness is doing in your heart? I mean, Jonah, I get it. I know who these people are. That's why I sent you to them. I know what they did. Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. Jonah, you care more about a plant that you had no control over creating, nor you had no control over its demise. You're more upset about that plant than you are about all these people who have just turned and repented from their sin. Jonah, do you see what's going on?" And I think that oftentimes in these situations, not only do we get mad at the people and the situation, but we turn it back on God. I think Jonah's prayer in response to God is a real response. God, what right do you have? God, what right do you have? God, I'm living for you. I'm doing my best down here on this earth. And for crying out loud, you put this person in my office and they're toxic. They're awful. They're awful. God, I invested in this marriage. And look at what my spouse did. God, why did that neighbor move into my neighborhood? God, why did you allow that car accident to happen? Why, God, I don't have a job anymore. God, I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best. God, what right do you have? And what I've learned is that just because we don't see God in our situation doesn't mean he's not there. But what I've also learned is that I can get very much so consumed with what's being done to me, I don't see what God wants to do through me. And that's a very real danger in allowing bitterness to set up shop in our heart. Here is the truth about the world that we live in. This world is broken with the effect of sin. The world that we live in right now is not the world that God intended us to live in. God made a perfect world, and mankind, we messed it up. We chose to sin. And ever since then, we feel the effects of sin all around us. Do people do horrible things? Yes, they do. Have horrible things been done to you? Probably. Yes, they have. Should it not have happened? No, it shouldn't. In my 54 short years on this earth, here's what I have found to be true. No one goes through this life without some type of suffering. It's not possible. Everybody suffers. And you know how I know that to be true? Because Jesus tells me that. John 16:33. Jesus says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Look, and I'm not, nobody wants this fortune cookie, right? I mean, you know, you're like, oh, great, I'm so glad I came to church today. I'm just telling you that the reality is that in this world, you and I will have trouble. And if up to this point in your life, you have had a trouble-free life, good for you, buckle up. Because this is a truism. This is a truism. Life is hard. But Jesus says, take heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world. And the danger of bitterness is that we can get so consumed with our situation and the people and the things that have gone on to us that bitterness becomes this self-made prison that we sit in and we clench the keys. And at any moment, we could take those keys and unlock ourselves from the cell, but we'd rather sit and clench the keys and sit in our bitterness because that feels better. Because the alternative seems incomprehensible. But God, because he loves us, because just as God was pursuing Jonah in the midst of a terrible situation, God pursues us in the midst of the difficulties that we face. And I don't say this, you know, like, praise the Lord anyhow, you know, kind of a thing, but there really is only one way to move forward, to move out of business, bitterness. And it's not easy, and I don't say this just kind of cavalierly, but it's true. The key to releasing bitterness starts with forgiveness. And that's hard. That's hard. But let me tell you what the Bible says about it. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, the Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Put all that away. And then, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Look, God doesn't say this like, hey, you know, just forgive him and you'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Everything. Come on. Some of the things that we've experienced and some of the things that have been done to us, we may not get relief this side of heaven. Let's be honest. Some of the pain and the hurt and the stuff that has happened, the humiliation and the things that when we see that person that we just picture their face, even now, some of you are wrestling with that inside of you right now. God's like, I get it. Jesus says, I really get it. Because I lived on this earth. But Jesus is also saying, look, you got to put all that stuff away. You have to. Because the alternative is it's going to consume you. And that is not a life that I have for you. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. I love this definition of forgiveness. Surrendering the right to hurt others in response to the way they hurt us. I surrender my right to hurt the person or persons that hurt me. I give up that right as a response. And you know how I do it? I do it in Christ. Because on my own, Kevin, on his own, is a disaster. I'm a disaster. I can't do it on my own. But in Christ, and I, like Jonah, I think it's an honest prayer to say, God, I don't want to forgive that person. Help me to forgive that person. And I think the more that we pray that and the more that we talk to God, God and his love for us, because God doesn't want the damage and the hurt and the ruin that bitterness will have in our lives, God says, I'm going to work in your heart, Kevin, but be willing to take a step towards me. Because just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not there. And I choose to take a step towards that. The solution is simple, but the process is not. And the hurt that you and I experience today, it's real. The pain is real. The anger is real. The bitterness is real. But the result of moving forward is this. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that's the peace. The peace is what we really want, right? I mean, we at the end of the day, I mean, yeah, we're still ticked off about what happened to us, but at the end of the day, what we really want is peace. We want relief. And God says that the peace of God, it will guard your heart and your mind. Because we can harbor bitterness in both places, and sometimes it'll chase. We think it's good here, and then it shows up here. God says, Kevin, I'm going to give you peace for your heart and your mind. If you'll let me. Bitterness is it's a real thing. And it's something that we were not intended to carry. Bitterness will cheat us. Bitterness will control us, and eventually bitterness will consume us. And the deal is that Satan wants to destroy us, but God wants to heal us. And I'm not trying to be cavalier about your situation. And what brought you to where you are today. Truth is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what happened to you. I'm sorry for the hurt and the pain. That's real. Friends, I want to tell you today that holding on to that is not God's plan for your life. And just as God was pursuing Jonah, God is pursuing you and God is pursuing me because he loves us. And just because we don't see God in it doesn't mean he isn't there. Several weeks ago, as I was thinking about and preparing to do this message, I heard this song come on the radio. I hadn't heard it in forever. The song was actually written in 2006. And I wanted to do a little bit of research on it. Like, where does this, you know, this song is so powerful. Like, where did it come from? And what's the story? And it brought me to this woman. Her name is Vinitha Reisner. She's a national speaker and writer. And what had happened was that her and her husband, they were having a baby boy, but the child had a heart defect and needed a special surgery, like microsurgery. So they did the surgery, and it was a success. Baby was thriving, 2 months old, heart's doing great, baby's doing great. In fact, after 3 weeks, baby went home from the hospital. Like, everything was doing well. They came in for the two-month checkup. They saw the cardiologist, came in for the two-month checkup. And the cardiologist that was supposed to see them wasn't there that day, so they had a different doctor there. And the doctor looked at the records and the child and all this and said, you know what? Your child's doing so well, we're going to take him off almost all the medicine. He's thriving. Basically, he's cured. This is awesome. So the doctor took the baby off their son off the medicine. 2 days later, the baby died. And she tells the story of lowering this small casket into the ground. What am I supposed to do with this? What am I supposed to do with this person that in a split second made a decision that changed not only my son's life, but my life? And as she was telling this story to a friend by the name of Krista Wells, who actually is a songwriter. And she penned the words to the song called Held. And I want you to listen to the words of this song. Same question that God asked Jonah, he asks us today. How's it helping holding on to the anger, to the bitterness? How's it helping you? How's it helping those around you? And what would it look like if we released the false comfort of bitterness and embraced the real healing that only God can provide. The story of Jonah ends with Jonah sitting on a hill, looking over Nineveh, hoping it would burn to the ground. God doesn't want that for Jonah, and he doesn't want that for us. And my hope and my prayer is that today, if that's in your life, that you will take a step towards God and allow him to heal the hurt inside. Father, I want to thank you that you love us. That you love us in the midst of a difficult place to live, a place that you never intended for us. Father, I pray for my friends that have gathered here today. God, you know their story. You know what's going on. I don't. Father, I pray that you would move in the hearts and lives of people as only you can. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be a sweet balm of healing over pain and hurt, both here in this room and people watching online. And I want to thank you that you are a God that cares, that you care enough to continue to pursue us in our own pain, that you're there, even though we may not see you, you're there. And I pray today that you would do a work that only you can do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.